B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Straight away to Marchand. His shot gets blocked out of the zone. And then one of the Bruins checks into Bennington, and you can bring out the Zamboni. First ever win on home ice in the Stanley Cup Final for the St. Louis Blues. A 4-2 win over the Bruins that ties the series 2-2. And we will go to Boston with the Stanley Cup Final becoming a best of three.
And that's where we are, back in Boston. Felger and Maserati here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester the day after the Blues tie up the Stanley Cup Final at 2 games apiece. Maz, Murray, and myself, Stu and Billy Lanny behind the glass, a fully loaded program. We are landed and ready to go. What are your thoughts on that one, Maz?
Well, look, what I'm worried about now is the health of the Bruins. That's what I'm worried about. And last night had nothing to do with the physicality of the Blues in terms of the injury to Zdeno Chara, because obviously that's just kind of a fluky thing. But nonetheless, here you go. 2-2. In a lot of ways, I thought this thing was going to be a tractor pull. There's been nothing that has happened over the course of the 4 games to change that. When the Blues win, they're the more physical, more assertive team. When the Bruins win, they're the faster and more skilled team. And so, but what I'm worried about now is the state of that Bruins decor. I mean, again, and this is one of the dangers of playing a team like the Blues. The Grizzly Kid obviously is a direct result of the physicality. And I do think that the Blues have great will. They have great will. That phrase you used a couple of years ago or several years ago, skill, will, and goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
In the will department, I don't know if the Blues beat the Bruins, but they're not getting beaten either. So they have every bit the will that you do and maybe more.
Okay, so we'll look ahead to the what the lineup looks like. If there is no Char, if there is no Greslick, they're considering some very interesting things, I think, in that lineup. So we're going to get to that. But just on last night, your thoughts on last night. How you feeling, Murray?
Not great. The thing is, for me, look at that game. Don't let the closeness of the score actually fool you, because I think the Bruins were dominated completely in that game, even when they were tied and they got a shorthanded goal. The Bruins can't match the Blues' physicality. They can't. And the top 6 forwards of the Bruins are inconsistent, and that's being kind, because in some cases, like David Krejci and David Pastrnak, they're complete non-factors, and it's really starting to piss me off. They're not going to win a game when they're pinned in their own zone. They can only dump the puck out far enough to get a quick line change, and then it comes right back in, and it's happening over and over and over and over again. To me, I look at that last night, it really did piss me off. The bottom line is, if St. Louis comes out like that again, and like they did in game 2, the Bruins are probably screwed.
Do you believe that, Maz?
No, I'm not convinced of that, no. And I'll tell you why, because I think there are other factors. The Blues are the more physical team. I mean, I think that's a fact at this stage. They're the more physical team. They're the bigger team. They're the stronger team. Again, which that worries me overall in terms of the grind, the wear down effect. But I also think, game 2 was way worse than this game. And in fact, about halfway through the second period, I thought the Bruins were doing okay under the circumstances. The Blues needed that game. I thought there were little pockets in there where the Bruins did okay. And obviously the shorthanded goal was enormous, but the third period was a disaster.
Okay, thank you. Because the third period was a complete and utter disaster.
Third period was a disaster.
They kind of pushed out.
I mean, what they had 4 shots in the third period.
They kind of pushed out. I think the Bruins didn't get beat up so much as they just didn't.
They wilted.
They wilted. They shied away from contact. And it did start early, most famously with David Pastrnak a couple minutes into the game. And maybe that set tone. But I thought by the end there were guys who just flat out did not want to take a shot, take a hit, did not want to take a check from the St. Louis Blues, and played accordingly. Alligator arming pucks, not skating full tilt, not going after pucks. You rewatched the game on the plane today, Maz, and you noticed what?
What I noticed more than anything was the forwards, and this is right out of the gate. The forwards weren't coming down. The Blues defensemen were pinching the whole game. That's where all that pressure comes from. They come down the boards. They come halfway down. They keep that puck in, and then here you go. They start cycling again and smacking you around. And you know where the Bruins forwards were? Up by the top of the faceoff circle. late, getting beat by 3-4 strides every time. Every time. They weren't going in there.
Well, and you know why? Because when you're the first one on the puck, you get hit. And that's what happened with Pasternak. And that's what I felt happened a little too much in this game.
See, but in game three, they did it. I thought their forwards were terrific in game three in terms of coming back and helping out. Really, I thought they were terrific. This game, brutal. Brutal. I mean, again, watch all these sequences if you can, if you get a chance to go back and watch it. Particularly early in the game where the Blues put pressure on the Bruins. Watch the defensemen of the Blues. They're all pinching. Every single one of them. The obvious danger there for St. Louis is if the Bruins can get the puck by him, here we go. Odd man rush the other way. But they weren't in there. They weren't fighting for the puck on the boards.
Okay, so I thought they shied away from contact in this game. Is that a long-term concern? Not, I'm not yet for me because I don't think they're that kind of team. I think generally they'll stand in there to it or for it, with it. They'll stand in there. So I don't know what happened last night. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why it looked like that, but I think generally speaking, they are a team that will take the hit. Not all of them, but enough of them. So the hits were 44-41 St. Louis. It felt worse. The shots were 38-23 St. Louis. That felt like an accurate depiction of the amount of pressure each team put on each other. I think a huge thing, unfortunately, that's developed in this series is officiating. You need calls. You need calls to win, or that's what it's been so far. 5-on-5, you've been outscored now 8-6. You've been outplayed 5-on-5. It's not just even 5-on-5 anymore. You've been outplayed 5-on-5. They've been a better 5-on-5 team here over the first four games. Are they a better 5-on-5 team overall? They might be. Your 5-on-5 numbers have not been great this year. You haven't been a great 5-on-5 team?
Well, they got better after they got Coyle and Johansson, right?
So I don't know what that exact number is after that point in time. I just know over the balance of the year, they weren't a great 5-on-5 team. And not a great playoff 5-on-5 team. And St. Louis is beating you 5-on-5. So if you're not getting calls, you're not winning. And last night, the calls dried up. And so it was officiated differently. And thus, you didn't get on the power play. Thus, it was 5-on-5. Thus, you lost.
And even when they did, it was a mess.
And their power play sucked to begin with. And even the two power plays they were on weren't the same. You had lost something there on the power play. But either way, two power plays a night, I think this team needs more than that. I think the way this team is built and the way they've been playing, they need more than that, which is why they've tried so hard to draw penalties. And when they get them, then they get on the power play. They're a different team. So is this thing going to come down to what kind of officiating do we get?
I hope not.
And what kind of officials do we get? When they have Sutherland and Kazari in there, the arms go up, the whistles get blown, the power plays are on for both teams. When it's guys like Rooney last night, it's a different series. And so I hate that. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hated that the Blues were diving around out there last night to try and get their calls, which they got. Now, this, if I wanted this, I'd watch the NBA. I mean, which I do, but I just, that's my old line, so I'll use it there. Like, I mean, if this is what I'd watch European soccer. See, you know, two teams trying to vie, you know, bitch about refs after the game, then dive on the ice for calls during the game, and it goes back and forth. It's a part of the game that I hate. So if you're asking me, I like the way the game was called last night. You know, it was 3 power plays to 2, right? It was 3-2, which is fine, which is all I need for a Stanley Cup playoff game. I don't need more than that. Some of these games where there's 5, 6, 7 power plays per side. I hate the way those games are called. Let most of the stuff go. And I thought even they called too much ticky-tack stuff in this game.
Yeah, so look, you know, with regard to the officiating, I'm not going to be inconsistent about this. I don't want the refs involved. And I'm not going to bitch about the officiating. The Blues didn't score on the power play.
That's right.
They didn't score on the power play.
Well, I mean, if you want to look at it, you once again won the special teams battle. You scored shorthanded. So you win. I mean, just want to boil it down. You win on special teams. 5-on-5, you haven't gotten anything against this team.
So, and what I'm worried about now is, the physical part of it, because it feels to me like they're getting worn down.
So how's it going to be called? Unfortunately, I think that's become a factor in this series. What'd you make of the Zdeno Chara situation? I'll just start and say I found it totally unusual.
Yeah, so when he didn't come back in the game, I said, well, this isn't just a bloody mouth.
Then why was he out on the bench? The whole situation I don't get and is rare. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't know how big of a deal it is. I'm just telling you, generally speaking, here's what happens. If a player gets cut or loses teeth, he plays. If a player broke a jaw or is concussed, he goes to the hospital. It's rare. So it's either one or the other.
There's no in between.
There's
really
no in between. If you get cut and lose teeth, you know, even badly, you put on the big
Darth Vader mask.
For cocked a mask, and you go back out and play.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more than that, you've broken a jaw and they've taken to the hospital to get it wired, or you're concussed and you're in the protocol, and there's really no in between. It's either one of those two things. And so I think a lot of hockey people looked at that last night and felt it was weird. So the story is that he's really hurt, but he was told not to go back out by trainers or doctors, so he was there on the bench for moral support. But he also couldn't talk. I guess he couldn't speak. So Carlos said he couldn't really talk. So what is he doing? Is he grunting at guys? Is he...
Just his mere presence is supposed to pump guys up, I guess.
I mean, are we taking that a little too far? Because they played like ass in the third period.
Yeah, so I think that my guess is you're asking me my opinion? They probably told him to go to the hospital, and he said, I'm not going. I'm staying till the end of the game. We'll talk about that later. I'm not leaving till the game's over. So give me a shield. I'm going to go sit on the bench.
Okay, so if he's not going to play, why is he wearing the shield?
Errant puck comes flying.
That's what I thought, too.
Really?
I thought, I did.
I don't want to get into the whole net discussion, but he can get out of the way, usually.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that, guys get hit by pucks on the bench.
Okay,
and maybe the doctor said to him, look, if you're going out there, you're wearing a shield because we're not going to let you get hit in the face again.
Look, I don't know. I'm just telling you that it was unusual. And
yeah, it was different. No question about it. I don't think it's just a bloody mouth. And I don't know anything. I'm not telling you that.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that. I don't think it's a bloody mouth. He'd have played with a bloody mouth.
Right, exactly.
In the playoffs here in 2011, Steven Stamkos' nose exploded, and he was back out on the ice.
This is what I'm talking about. So it's rare if it's a broken jaw or something of that nature, concussion, then you're generally not on the bench with a full shield on, not being able to speak. So it's just a statement of him being there? Okay. I mean, I don't see that very often. If he's trying to make that statement so he deserves our respect for that. Like, fine. It didn't work because the team sucked in the third period and was shying away from contact as bad as they had all night. So if his presence there was supposed to represent this warrior mentality, it didn't work because the team did not have a warrior mentality in the third period. So the Char thing, I just find a little odd. It's you don't see that very often. And whatever it was that was going on, it did not work.
Yeah, I'd be willing to bet it had more to do with him and what he wanted. I'm just guessing here. But if it's a bloody mouth, he's on the ice.
Okay, so then we have, what do they do about it if he's out and Grizzlick's out? They're looking at some interesting lineup things that they haven't done very often here, which would constitute quite a thing to just sort of drop into the middle of the Stanley Cup final. But that's where we're at. Those are our opening thoughts. What are yours? To you right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Dunn shoots, deflected on, wrap around, they score! Brian O'Reilly!
Chara, left circle, shoots, fitting to the safe, rebound, they score! Charlie Coyle hammers it home.
Petrangelo shoots, rebound, they score! Tarasenko!
I think, first of all, I think we shoot the puck way more in this game, and it's playoffs, a little bit different game than regular season. You don't have clear shots, and people try to block shots all the time, so to find your chances, you need to go in the red zone, score some greasy goals maybe. And
the Bruins turn it over, right circle, it's fired, blocked.
Good jar in the face.
Oh.
The trainers come to me and said, done for the night. Question was asked, but he'd like to sit with his teammates. I'm like, if medically he's able to do that, and that's fine.
Marchand working against Dunn. Pulls it in front of his bench. Saucer to head. Bergeron far circle. Shoots. Binnington the same. Rebound. They score! Brandon Carlo shorthanded the 20th Bruin to register a goal here in the playoffs. And the Boston Bruins have tied game 4 at 2 apiece.
Ultimately, I would give that goal back if it meant a win. I don't really care to score as long as we're winning. So
You know, I'm not going to say it was nice to score that goal, but I would much rather come out with a win.
Now to Pietrangelo with time. Wires the shot on. Rebound, they score! Ryan O'Reilly! And the Blues take the lead again.
We're just kind of, we think we catch them in the change, and it was just quick up mindset that we kind of talked about as a team having. And yeah, I just kind of tried to get speed to go to the net, and obviously it was a great shot. Good bounce.
You know, clearly can't allow the player to get it. How do you do that? Well, you either get to the puck first or you get under his stick. That's kind of your options. But we didn't arrive on time. Not much we can do about it now except learn from it, and let's do a better job next time making sure we're on time.
All right, Jimmy's look back at game two. Two little things that bugged me. Several things that bugged me, but just because I just heard him, I'll tell you. I didn't love the Blues' first goal. I think goaltenders should stop 100% of wraparounds.
I mean, really, the wraparound's a hard one to take, isn't it?
I don't think you should ever give up a wraparound. Sometimes they happen. So, like,
they do feel.
You should stop. That. You should stop 99% of them.
I also feel like there should be someone helping out at that corner, like, you know. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think a goalie coach would tell you that we're not going to give up any wraparounds this whole year. No wraparounds. You know, never let a pop up drop in the infield. Don't you know, whatever, you know, the ball hits you in the hand, you're supposed to catch it. Like, whatever little, I think that's a goaltender rule. No wraparounds. And so I think Rask was just, I mean, not that he was wildly off or wildly slow on that, but he didn't start on time. He just overcommitted a little bit on the right side, stumbled getting back to the left open just a little bit, and O'Reilly found it, and that a little sharper, and that thing doesn't go in.
He was shaky in the early part of the game.
I thought he was excellent throughout the game. Like, I'm not getting on Rask for the game. I just, that first goal, was he fully amped, ready to go, you know, needle pinned to start the game? I don't know. And the change on the game winner.
Oh, my God, brutal.
Hated that change. Hated that change. Puck did not get deep enough. The left D who got it to Pietrangelo, I can't remember who was out there at the time, it didn't get past him. It was Gunnarsson. And you got to make sure that that puck is past him before you do a wholesale change like that. I did not like that change. And you let Pietrangelo, because of that change, Pietrangelo walked all the way down there. He had so much room. Tuukka Rask called it the ladies' tees. He teed off from the ladies' tees, and I don't blame Rask for not being able to control that rebound. He was right on top of him with a 1,000-mile-an-hour slap shot on his shoulder. What's he supposed to do there? That's not Rask's fault. That change, I did not like that change.
No, it was brutal again, and Pietrangelo was one of the guys who was pinching all night. He was taking every inch that the Bruins would give him, whether it was on the boards or, in that case, rushing up the right side. Like, I just thought that, again, I give the Blues a lot of credit. They fight, man. They are relentless.
Okay. Again, your thoughts. Mike in Cranston. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. What I saw last night was, I think it was just obvious who's the more battle-tested team. The Bruins really haven't had a real opponent since Toronto. And I was worried that this was kind of a fake cup run. And I'm beginning to think that, you know, they haven't played the competition that they should have to get there. And, Mike, you kill the Patriots for this all the time. So I think, you know, who you play matters to get there.
I think it does. They're not as battle-tested. I agree. But that's not to say the Bruins aren't battle-tested. And the Patriots thing, you know, people bring that up, and it's just so, so different. I'll just, you know, again, Super Bowl teams get 2 weeks off before their divisional game, then can play some complete tomato can in a divisional game, then have a home conference title game, and then be in the Super Bowl. That's it. Two games, and one of them is a tomato can down for 2 weeks off. So you can absolutely get to the Super Bowl and not be battle-tested. You can't get to the Cup Final and not be battle-tested. So the Bruins are battle-tested. The Blues are more. The Blues had tougher competition with, you know, bigger battles throughout to get here, and I think that probably helps them. Does it help them enough to, you know, bridge whatever talent gap there is? I would hope not. But yes, they are a tough, battle-tested team. They are.
I mean, again, I think Columbus was a real series. The caller said they haven't played anybody since Toronto. I think the Columbus series was a real series.
No question.
The Carolina series was a joke. And, you know, to me, what is alarming is go back to game two, the one here in overtime. When the Blues want to go to that fever pitch, the Bruins can't get there. I mean, they dominated that overtime. They dominated the third period last night in a 2-2 game. Like, you know, again, now in both cases, the Blues needed the win more than the Bruins did. So, like, in a game 5 scenario, how does it look? I don't know. But to me, that's the pattern.
Tim in Worcester, your thoughts? Hello, Tim. His comment line says Berube. Did Berube help buy the officiating last night?
Absolutely. No question about it. Yep, and if he were our coach, we'd be praising him for it.
And doesn't it suck?
Yep.
Doesn't it suck?
I find it annoying that the league took the cheese on it.
Oh, they all do. Well, I mean, you watch the NBA. It's even worse.
That's the NBA. But I expect that better out of the NHL.
That is an NBA-type cause and effect, what you saw last night, though.
Tarasenko flopping on the Clifton
embarrassing.
Hit to the head joke. Schwartz dives on
Clifton.
Trip on Heinen, I think
it
was.
Oh, Heinen. It was Heinen. You're right.
Yep, they're diving around out there getting the calls. How does that feel? Doesn't feel so good, does it?
See, but again, like, they didn't score on the power play, right? So the penalties against you didn't really hurt other than, you know, you say territorially or momentum. The Bruins got to find a way to score 5-on-5.
Yeah, but territory and momentum help.
Like, sure they
do. I mean,
do.
I think you can build some territorial momentum there with the power play. And
Bruins hit in game one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It happens routinely. Teams do it. So you don't even need to score for it to, you know, turn the tide. And the Bruins, unfortunately, are dependent on their special teams. That's what they've developed into. A team that needs... They won on special teams again last night. They got a shorty. They had... And their power play sucked, so it's not like that helped them out. They had 3 shots shorthanded, 1 shot on the power play last night. But still, a special team series, you win. A 5-on-5 series, the Blues have established themselves so far as the better team through 4 games. Maybe that changes. I don't know. But that's why the Bruins were out there trying to buy calls, because they need the special teams. Pat in Boston. Go ahead, Pat.
So I'm not in the group that thinks dressing 7 defensemen for a game 5 is a good idea. If I'm Cassidy, I'm switching up my forward group big time. I don't know. The best defensive scheme in hockey to play is to play offense. I don't think it's a totally crazy idea to split up Bergeron and Marchand. When Bergeron went down the regular season, Marchand and Krejci had success on 5-on-5 and on the power play together. So I think, you know, moving to Plus down on the third line, splitting up Bergeron and Marchand, because Bergeron...
Okay, I'm just going to stop you. They're not splitting up Marchand and Bergeron. So just, I mean, whether you think that's a good idea or not, we'll let that go. The team's never going to do it, so it's just not worth debating. But they are going to do some lineup things. They are going to do something with the Krejci line, for sure. And Cassidy, and we'll get to this in a little bit, Cassidy Day was talking about 7D. And one of those D is going to be Juro Vaakanainen, probably, or Jeremy Lauzon, one of these defensemen that you've drafted in the last couple of years, who's supposed to be this next wave. And Vaakanainen's the one to really look out for. He's the 18th overall pick from a couple of years ago and has developed faster than they thought and had a chance to make the team this year. And, like, that's the guy. And he might draw into the lineup on Thursday. That's quite a thing.
Unbelievable.
22-year-old rookie, never played a playoff game, might draw into the middle of what has become a freaking vicious buzzsaw of a series. That is something else. And I don't think it's the wrong move. If the kid can play, the kid can play. You're at home. You have the last change. You can put him in the right spot. Just pick your spots with him if you want.
Cassidy has proven that he's thrown these rookies right into the fire before. He did it with McAvoy in that Ottawa series.
And with Clifton.
I have no problem with it. Sometimes these guys, this Dunn kid, you know, was drawn into the lineup for St. Louis. I think he's made an immediate difference for him.
Yeah, no. He made a difference in that game last night. Hell, he's the one that flipped the puck up just to the side of the net there on the first goal. He's the one that did it. He can move the puck. He makes a difference.
So if there's 7D, so Kampfer's the other one because they want someone else to kind of protect Vaakanainen, or you'll hear casting his own words, but that means a forward comes out. Who comes out?
Well, it's got to be Backes or Achari.
Backes in this series where physicality matters and it's his former team and Achari, blah, blah, blah.
And Achari's a physical guy too.
Backes was a nothing last night.
You want to mess with that fourth line?
No, I'd be more inclined to take Backes out.
Okay, so I think
double shift Pasternak.
That's just a little teaser. We'll get into this further, but this is what's facing the Bruins here, and I think they're gonna do some interesting things going into game five here Thursday night. Here's an update from Murray, and we're back with again the physical tone or lack thereof that was not set by the Bruins early on in this game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pastrnak's going to get there first in the far corner. Watched by Sundquist.
We knew Sundquist was coming. Yeah, two shifts in a row. The Bergeron's line goes against that Sundquist line. That time Sundquist had David Pastrnak lined up. Pastrnak got there to make sure it wasn't going to be icing, but he saw him coming.
For me, it all goes back to this play, and I have to bring it up, Mike. 2 minutes into the game, Pastrnak goes in on an icing in the offensive zone. Sundquist. I have to talk about it. He pulls up, turns around, looks at the St. Louis Blues player, and lets him have the puck. That was just how the game went. He set the whole tempo for the St. Louis Blues.
From laying off the contact.
Just not going in there. You're first to the puck, you go in there. It's an unwritten rule in hockey. Step up. You've got to get in there and get that puck. It was your puck to have. You won the race for the icing. Go in and take the puck. Very reminiscent of the Dougie Hamilton, Alex Ovechkin maneuver we saw in round two.
You think that's that tone?
Yes, I really do. You send a message to the other team, I don't want it. I don't want the puck. You can have it. And everyone sees that. It's 2 minutes into the game. It's, the I think, 17:45 left in the first period. Just too much time. You have to go after it. You have to prove you want the puck every time. And I'm not saying you got to go in there and take a hit and get hurt and everything else, but there's ways to slide out of a corner with a puck. There's ways to do it, to throw your shoulder up, still protecting the puck in the corner. Everybody else is doing it. You got to get on board.
There's Tony Monty on NBC Sports Boston last night on our postgame show, calling out David Pastrnak for that weak play in the corner against Oscar Sundquist, first 2.5 minutes of the game. Hard to argue. We all noticed it.
I mean, the images are striking, too, when you see them.
I mean, like, so the still images that we show on NBC Sports Boston, I mean, with Sundquist 10 feet away, Pastrnak is looking at him. Just stop looking at the puck and is looking at him and stop skating in the corner. It's pretty bad.
I mean, so I don't know if, like, you know, if Pastrnak thinks he's doing a good thing there or what. Like, I don't know what the logic is, but maybe this goes back to game two. They got smacked around so badly in game two. They knew what the Blues were going to look like at the start of this game, you know, that game last night. And so they went in and they were psyched out before the game even began. I mean, maybe that's really what it's all, what we're saying here. They knew they were going to get battered again and they weren't up for it.
So, and it felt like by the end, they were alligator arming pucks. I mean, he alligator armed it in the first 2 minutes, but I felt the third period, it was really glaring. And so that happened last night. I typically don't think that that's you as a team. You know, you got beat up in game two, but I didn't feel like you were cowering from it. Last night, there was a little bit of shying away from it.
This is what happens in a series, right? They start to hit you, and all of a sudden, you don't want to get hit anymore.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Brian and Malden. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you? Just calling in. You know, St. Louis old school hockey playing against the new NHL. They did this all playoffs. This is how the team plays. They play like the coaches played. How many guys did they knock out against San Jose? You know, they knocked out four guys over the longevity of that series. Bruins are turtling. You know, they're not taking the shots when they get in the slot. Marchand's holding the puck too long, right in the slot, opts the pass instead of taking the shot. Johansson coming across the blue line goes east west, causes an odd man rush the other way. They can't match that play. They need to simplify the game, get the puck in deep, get in the corners, put everything on Binnington. The guy is shaky. He doesn't play the puck clean when it's put on net. As far as Char with the broken jaw coming back out, I believe me, correct me if I'm wrong, 2013, Jonathan Toews did the same thing. Broken jaw, came back out the bench, sat there for moral support.
Is that right?
I believe so, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, I've never heard of that. I'm going to look at it, though.
Yeah, Chara, you know.
Chara, 2013 versus you, he had a concussion and he played through it. That's what I remember in 2013. I thought Toews played through the final with a concussion.
I don't remember.
That's what I remember. I don't remember sitting on the bench with a broken jaw. It's rare to see what Chara did. I don't know if it's never been done. I don't know. But for someone, if he's not coming back in the game, to sit on the bench for moral support but have the whole contraption on his head is different. Let me put it to you like this. I didn't love the optic. I think the optic lent to the image of you got beat up. And look, here's your captain who geared up with this headgear and sat there on the bench.
With his war wound.
And it's like...
And hanging his head half the time.
Yeah, I just... So, I'm sure his heart's in the right place. I'm not questioning his toughness. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just saying, what was really the point? If he couldn't even talk, according to the guys on the bench.
Again, maybe it was him. Maybe it was him. And I could see Chara doing that. Like saying, I'm going to go sit on the bench. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying in the locker room and you're not taking me to the hospital. So maybe that was it. And again, I hear what you're saying on the optics.
There's just too much attention on him, right? I mean, it became sort of a magnet. Like you're sort of drawn to that image, and it just lent to the image. And meanwhile, the guys out on the ice are shying away from hits, and it got worse as the game went on in the third period. And they've taken your captain out, and he's sitting there with the shield on. It just, the whole look was not. I didn't love it. I didn't love the look.
I mean, I worry about them in terms of the beating they're taking.
So, but that was just a fluke. That's not a Blues beat.
No. But I'm sort of, just in the aggregate. And not even, I'm just saying the whole playoff run, all of it. And the Blues are knocking the crap out of them, and now Chara takes a puck in the face. Like, and for those people who want to beat the crap out of Chara, how do you like the prospect of playing Game 5 without him?
Rick and Swamscott, your thoughts on Chara?
Yeah, my thoughts on Chara, I think it's a simple one. He came back in the third after he was hurt, just in case a bench minor had to be served. If Tuukka Rask, let's say, two hands a Blues defenseman, he's not going to serve the 2 minutes for slashing. You got Chara to go do it.
Yes.
So I think that's it. I think it's a simple one. I don't know. How do you guys feel?
Yeah, they mentioned that on the broadcast. That's circumcising the mosquito, man.
Yeah, I don't believe that that's it.
You throw Backes in there. He played 9 minutes all night.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's a million guys I'd love to throw in there.
Right, exactly.
For crying out loud. Like, so I don't think that that's it. I'm telling you, the only logical explanation I can come up with.
No, he wanted to.
It was him.
That totally makes sense. Because in his mind, that was making a statement, and I'm not going to argue with the man. It was just, I don't know if it had the desired effect. I'll just put it to you like that.
Yeah, his intentions were good, right? It's not like he wanted to make them look bad or anything. His heart's in the right place. He's trying to be a good captain, a good leader. I'm going to be there with us, win or lose. I get all of that. And so it didn't bother me like it bothered you. I just think it was odd that he would come out and then not play.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I look at that and I say, this is not a bloody mouth. This isn't a bloody mouth.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
The Bruins turn it over. Right circle, it's fired. Blocked.
Hit Char in the face.
Oh, Char is down. Lost his gloves in the far circle.
It ramped up. It ramped up and hit him in the face. He reached out to block that shot, and it ramped up and it caught him up high. He's bleeding pretty good from the nose, it looks like. Nose or mouth? Mouth, maybe.
Well, we clearly know we got a puck in the face. Very uncomfortable. Was advised not to return to play. Had some stitches, probably some dental work in the near future. He wanted to come out on the bench and be with his teammates. That's why he was out there. I don't know his status for Game 5.
So that also contributed to the optic of it. He's uncomfortable. He had stitches and some dental work. And he missed the whole third period?
That's why I think something else has to be going on here. You know, there's been a lot of allusions to a broken jaw, maybe a concussion, something.
So, look, Cassidy's not revealing injuries, and he's maybe playing coy there.
They're hiding something.
So, I'm just that all led to that optic of, why is he not out there? I mean, he's hurt. He's smashed his face. He broke a jaw. He's concussed. Fine. Like, you can't play through everything. I mean, these guys are not robots. But if he's out there and they took the time to, and so I'm just telling this sort of, it just had that feel of it. I'm not saying, I'm not, you know, calling Chart out there necessarily. I'm just saying and then the coach comes out and says he's going to have dental work. It's like, you know, for you or I, yes, if I took a puck like that, you wouldn't see me for a month. But hockey players generally play through a cut and dental work and whatnot. And so it just sort of lent to that whole optic. So we'll see. We'll see what's up with Chara here. You have to think that it's serious. If it's a broken jaw, he ain't playing. And he ain't playing anytime soon. What do they do in Game 5? Do you have something first, Maz?
I'm just going to say that the whole idea of the seventh defenseman, what if it's to back him up?
Okay, so let's get to this. So they were discussing today, here's Bruce Cassidy today, on if Chara is out and Matt Greslick remains out, both left shot D, what do they do with the lineup? Here he is.
Well, the back end could have a domino effect, Steve, if listen, again, speculation. I hate doing this, but if we're out 2D, Grizz and Z, we might have to play seven defensemen. I mean, you're putting guys in there that haven't played a ton, so maybe we got to look at, okay, how does this best work out for us? We use a guy situationally to take Z's PK minutes if need be, another guy to match up, which, of course, would be, you know, reaching into an area where, you know, a young kid hasn't played in the playoffs at all for us, so we got to be careful there. 11 forwards, I think we can manage. We've used, you know, different guys, double shifted throughout the year. We've got some, so that part doesn't worry me as much as how's it going to affect a young guy coming out of the lineup. Now we just plug a D in. It's worked well for us so far. So that'd be the other option. I don't think we'll go any other route. We've gone this far, and that's kind of our options right now. We're contemplating. That's dictated by health right now.
Okay, I find that interesting. They probably go 7D. And I think Juro Vakanainen's one of them. He was the one, he's getting closer and closer as they peeled away defensemen. He sort of moved up the chart or the practice flow. I'm not describing that properly, but, you know, it looked like he was inching closer. He was the next left shot guy. And if they lose, we asked Beers this yesterday, if they lose one more left shot guy, Juro Vakanainen, 18th overall pick a couple years ago, Finnish defenseman, not huge, I think 6'1", 185, but skilled, skates well, has flashed, has advanced farther than they thought, quicker than they thought, and here he is. And that's what I think they're talking about.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
It's either him or Jeremy Lauzon, but I don't think Lauzon is as close as Vakanainen. That would be something.
And he was out there practicing ahead of Game 3 on Saturday. So.
Right. Vakanainen, I think he's played two NHL games. You're going to throw him in the middle of this thing?
Well,
I don't have a problem with it.
No, and you know what? And Cassidy did say, if we're out, Z and Grizz.
Right.
Right? So the scenario, because I thought maybe the seventh defenseman is to back up Chara. In other words, if Chara can't go, then we have a seventh guy on the bench. And, you know, if we have to limit Chara's minutes or whatever, or something happens during the game, we got to take him out again. But that's not what they're talking about. They're saying if neither one of those guys can play, they're going to have two others. I mean, to me, I'd go Vakanainen.
Absolutely.
I don't want Zboril anywhere near the ice.
No. I don't even think he's a consideration. The question is Steve Kampfer, who's a veteran, who's been around, is more seasoned. You want anything to do with Steve Kampfer?
I mean, he scored a goal for him earlier in the playoffs, right?
He did against Carolina, didn't he?
So
I want Vakanainen. Okay, so they're considering doing that. I can't remember the last time they went 7D. Forward has to come out. Who is it?
Backus.
What's your second line look like?
I would, you know, move Pastrnak in and out of there, maybe Johansson in and out of there, like double shift, you know, alternate double shifting those guys or something like that. That's what I would do. And so, to me, that's the way to go. You get more ice time for Johansson. He's played well.
Krejci's your fourth line center right now as it stands anyway. I mean, really, you look at the ice time, some of these games, he's getting the fourth amount of ice time.
I'll tell you what, though, watching it last night, his wingers right now suck.
Yeah, he wasn't helping matters either. He was one of those guys alligator arming the puck late in that game. I really noticed Krejci laying up.
I mean, they were, I would say, how many passes did you see, like, go off their sticks? They didn't receive them properly. Like, I don't know what the hell was going on there. Like, maybe this all relates to the whole idea of not wanting to get your brains beat in.
So, look, I'm with you. Backus is useless, but he did take six hits last night. I think he led you in hits as I was looking at it. So he's one of the few guys that will engage six hits. He had six hits in 9 minutes. He only played 9 minutes It was by far the least amount of ice time of anyone on the Bruins. Only played 9 minutes total, and he had 6 hits in 9 minutes.
Okay, so if it's not him, who are you taking out?
No one.
It's got to be him.
I'm not messing with the fourth line, even though they had an off night. Corrali, Achari, Nordstrom had an off night by their standards. They've been one of your better units.
DeBrusque? Heinen?
So Heinen last night sucked. Heinen bugged the crap out of me last night.
He just gets pushed around too easy.
There's that. He was the one. The caller said before, Johansson loses the puck, diddling, doing across the middle of the ice. No, it was Heinen that gave that up, that led to the rush going the other way, that led to the second St. Louis goal. It was Heinen that gave the puck up in that situation.
He was trying to make the pass to Johansson.
Yeah, he was diddling across the middle of the ice as opposed to getting it on net, making a stronger play on the puck. Heinen also, it was a little bit of a flop, but he also tripped Schwarzer in the third period for a power play. I thought Heinen sucked in this game. I did not like Heinen one bit.
This team's a bad matchup for him.
So, but they love him. They like Heinen in all those situations. So it's Backes or Achari, both of who you need for the physical game. It wouldn't bother me one bit if Backes draws out, except, so how do you handle all those different permutations? So I just think they're, Vakanainen's one that interests me, because the guy can allegedly play. Like, he's got skill.
Right.
He can actually play.
I mean, that's where I would lean. You know, look, if they're going to go seven, it's going to be him and Kampfer. And I don't mind taking Backes out of there. And then again, double shifting Pastrnak. And plus, break it up a little bit. Because it feels like the Blues are playing more matchups now anyway. I mean, again, last night they had their fourth line on the Bruins' first line. So to me, maybe this frees up some of those guys and you get a little bit of space for Johansson or for Pastrnak.
Okay, so there's your thoughts on that. Back to you, Jim and Everett. Go ahead.
How you doing? I think you took my take, but I would go with Vakanainen and Kampfer, and I think you need to have seven defensemen the way St. Louis is forechecking in case they put another one out of the game. With someone, then they're down to five again.
I'll tell you what, Jim, you've had to play two of these four games with 5D, essentially.
Correct.
And it's worn you down. Both
and you lost
times.
Both of them, right.
No question. It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, no, and so look, they're going to get, I mean, again, what are you giving up by taking Backes out of there?
Right,
exactly. But it's not getting you anything. Like, the hits are good for visuals, but what does it get you? Is it creating turnovers? Are you getting scoring opportunities as a result of it?
I also feel like he gets creamed as much as he...
Absolutely.
You know, he's on his ass as much as he's putting someone else on his ass. Joe and Peabody, shut that dog up. What do you got, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes. All right.
So, Pasta, that was a weak play. Like, he's fancy. He needs to go for the puck and do what he does and set the tone, because they undressed that goalie in the third game. They attack them. It all starts with that goalie. I'm telling you guys, watch what happens. If they just attack them the way I've been seeing them and just continue to shoot the puck.
What, you don't think 23 shots is enough? 23 freaking shots.
Four in the third period.
Come on.
See, again, so after two periods, remember, like, the shots are what, 26 to 19 or something after two periods, and it's a 2-2 game. You're right there. And look, in their building, down 2-1, you're going to get smacked around a little in the first couple of periods, but it's still 2-2, and you're right there. The third period was a poop show. Complete poop show.
Mary in North Carolina, I think. Go ahead, Mary.
Yes, yeah, you got it. Hey, guys, I wonder why they even have that embellishment penalty on the books when they never call it. I mean, when they added that rule, I think I've seen it called twice, and it's always like a match. You know, why don't they ever call that? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Mary, let me tell you something. If they put me in charge of sports, I'm not talking any specific league. I'm talking about sports. Just make me the commissioner of sports. I would eliminate diving so fast it would make your head spin. Inside of 2 years, I would clean up all of these sports. I would start with soccer. Not that you care about it, but it would be the easiest. And I would have that weenie referee run around with his yellow and red cards and not give them to the guy that just happened to maybe have tripped someone. I'd give the red cards to the Euro weenie rolling around like he's on fire on the turf. And I would clean that thing up in about 2 minutes. Okay? Then I'd go to the NBA and I would do between day film sessions. And I would start handing out massive fines. I mean, I would. It's so easy to clean this stuff up, is to go to video, call out the floppers, fine them heavily, and just go after it. And you would end it. And I would end it in about a week in all of sports if I were commissioner of sports. But they only want to. For some reason, they don't want to do it.
Keen as a mountain, Felger.
But seriously, it's that easy. I mean, all it takes is some video and some fines.
It has to be a massive fine so they can really feel it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, any little bit, just start with whatever. I mean, 50,000 is 50,000. I don't care how much you make.
Not enough. That Tarasenko thing should have been 500,000.
Okay, so now you're all outraged after the Bruins are flopping around. This is what I was
driving at.
This is what I was driving at. How does that taste, Boston, when the other team starts diving around out there and now you're killing off penalties because they're flopping? You hate it, right? But when you do it, it's Felger, stop being such an a-hole. No. Just call it. I'm sorry. I just call it as I see it. You hate it when the team does it to you. So why do you celebrate when you do it to them? What, Maz? What are you laughing at?
We're going to headlines and then coming back for more on Teddy Roosevelt and Maz.
Here's some Murray's update. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.